You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. Today we're going to be interviewing a founder of Incubator Finance, Jim French. We'll talk a little bit about how his business got started, how this idea turned into a significant business for his clients, and then we'll take a little look at what technology can bring to businesses and help businesses in California thrive. So, Jim, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I've known you and Paul. Well, my goodness, I've known you and Paul for about the same amount of time, but there was a time before I knew that you both knew each other.
Right. Yeah. Yes. It's been a long time, and it's been a journey.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about how Incubator Finance came into being.
Okay. Well, I originally, my background is I am an accountant. So I left college and started at Deloitte, where I spent about 2.5 years there. And then I got an opportunity from an angel investor to run a software company. And so I left that to spend the next 15 years or so running software companies and playing into many different areas within a software company. I've been a CFO, I've been a CEO, I've been a VP of professional services and support. I've designed software, so I like to say that I've built software from scratch, and I've taken a company public. So I've seen all the ins and outs of software, and through that process, one of the things that I realized as I took a break from software and became a CFO of a rapidly growing real estate brokerage here locally, is that technology, when you deployed it, oftentimes never got fully utilized in most cases, because the experts in the system had to move on to the next client. And the cost of traveling a body to your location, to educating people, to growing your usage of it, to producing output of information was really limited. And so as I got to the CFO gig, I did what I always did, and they asked me to replace the back office system and streamline the automation for the accounting process. And so I wanted to try something different. This was about 7 years ago, and cloud-based accounting wasn't really accepted at that point. And so, but I wanted to see if I could do what I've always done, but I wanted to see if the cloud had grown up to the point that it can do it. And I wanted to do it completely paperless. And so I went about and I found cloud-based software for both the back office accounting and the document management. In a month and a half, I deployed it. I cut the cost by 50%. I centralized all the accounting, and we went completely paperless from an accounting perspective. And so this is when I really realized what you can really do with the cloud-based technology today, and you can really eliminate all the on-premises work that you typically had with deploying software. And I also realized that you didn't have to be on site anymore, that it could all be done remotely, and you can continue to build that relationship with that client. And so I left that company to start Incubator Finance with the mission that I wanted to help companies truly utilize technology, not just during the implementation process, but along their entire journey. Because through my combination of both financial technology and operational experiences, I could leverage that insight to truly understand how the information could provide them insights to make the business decisions they needed to grow their business.
So as you moved toward building this company, what kind of obstacles did you have to overcome?
Well, I accumulated a large knowledge base by the background and the journey that I took from all the different roles that I played, and my knowledge of both software and accounting. The biggest concern was, how do we replicate that knowledge? How do you grow a business that's built on somebody's unique skill set that doesn't exist? You don't find many accountants that have been both accounting professionals as well as software people. And so it was a very hard process to say, how am I going to scale this? I can go and turn this into a consulting arrangement, but how do I structure this in a way that that I can scale it? And number two, we can make it affordable for customers, because we can't continue to charge them consulting rates. And so those were the two obstacles that we wanted to overcome, is how do we reduce the cost so that customers can afford to pay for our services over a longer period of time? And how do we replicate this model on a skill set that was unique and accumulated over 20 years of experience? And so that's when I said, the way that I got around it is I said, okay, I'm going to go hire accountants. and I'm going to teach accountants how to deploy software. I'm going to start passing that knowledge over to them. And number two, we're not going to travel. We're not going to go to the on-site. We're not going to eat up people's time in traveling. And we're going to make this a fractional service that I look as kind of like a buffet. So some months they're going to eat a lot. Some months they're going to eat a little bit. But over a period of time, it's going to balance out. And it becomes a win-win for both of us, is that we can dedicate the time and not focus on the typical consulting matrix, which would be utilization. How much utilizes someone against their billable rate? Because if we're working together on a long-term basis and we have a flat monthly fee, that we can allocate that over a period of time. So by moving to a flat monthly fee approach, this allowed us to really provide this as a service. And by starting to educate accountants, we're able to speed up the process of education that needed to replicate my knowledge.
Well, all right, so when somebody engages you, what are they getting from you? It's not just software.
Yeah, it's the whole, it's basically outsourcing the whole back office functionality. So we will go and find the best software, right? So our focus isn't always on the price of the software. It's on the value that it's going to bring. And in today's software climate with cloud-based software, there's new software that's developing every day. So for example, 2 years ago, there was a lot of time and expense tracking software, but there wasn't a lot of document management software. Today, we're seeing a lot of document management software that is cloud-based showing up. Tomorrow, we're going to see more inventory management softwares that becomes cloud-based, because as they move from more and more complex software that takes longer to reproduce in a cloud-based environment, we start seeing that transition. And so through that process, it allows us to bring that whole software package together for them, find out the combination of best price, best functionality, best scalability, and as well as the ability to assemble that. So by looking at it from an accounting perspective, or more importantly, an output perspective, we design our systems backwards. So what that means is we look at what's going to drive that owner's experience. So what they're getting from us is our knowledge around, if I'm a construction company, what are the things that I'm going to track? And how do I funnel the information through the software to produce that output? So they get not only the technology, they get the financial acumen of a very skilled team of accountants, and they get this informational architecture that flows the information through all these different systems to produce the output they're looking for. And then finally, depending on their size and where they are in their evolution, they also can have a back office accounting team that they can pay on a flat monthly fee that they know will never quit, that they will have a skill set ranging from bookkeepers to controllers to CFOs that they can get on a fractional basis where they wouldn't be able to afford them, removing the barriers that they have to manage and maintain those people on a skill set they may not necessarily have. So they're bringing in experts around technology. They're bringing experts around informational flow. They're bringing experts around accounting and how to use the tools effectively and efficiently, and getting that all at a fraction of if they tried to accomplish this on their own.
So one of the important pieces is workflow process development.
Absolutely. And we've spent a lot of time on understanding by industry how that information should flow through the system and how we should store it to produce that output. So we've taken accounting and turned accounting into an operational accounting as well. So historically, you have income statements, you have balance sheets. We've brought in this whole new concept of operational accounting. So whether you're doing a purchase order or whether you're doing a sales order, we're now storing this in a way to produce serious output so I can understand immediately by customer, by project, what is my sales backlog? What is my invoice backlog? What is my revenue backlog? How much have I committed to spend? And so by looking at this by vertical, we've built these components that we have then assembled by vertical of so you get this complete system with this consistent, repeatable informational flow that produces huge amounts of information.
So give me some stories about companies, because now I'm presuming that there are not many companies that come to you and saying, I want to buy your system.
So typically, and you're 100% correct, people don't come to us and say, I want to buy software. The people that we get say, I need to gain insight into my business. It's typically owners, right? So oftentimes it's the owners coming in and saying, my business has got to the point that I can't stay in the middle of my business. So we call it the spider web concept. Is an owner typically sits in the middle of his business and they can feel everything that's going on around them because they're sitting in the middle of it, or their gut can tell them what's happening. But then a business gets to a point that they can no longer spread themselves thin enough to actually stay in the middle of that spider web, and they've got to start putting in tiers underneath them to help them execute. That's when they start losing visibility. And so that's when an owner will come to us and says, I need to gain insight into my business. So they don't, not one of them come to us and say, I need software. They come to us and say, I need to gain insights into my business, and could you help me get there? And that's where we have a discussion around what are the drivers of their business? What's the information that they're not getting? What do they need to understand so their business can get to the next level? And that's where we start then putting together the process and the tools necessary to get them there, as well as we don't do it all overnight. And that's the key, that one of the things that we do is we can build a roadmap that matches their growth perspective and their financial budget perspective that they need to roll this out. So today, they may just be wanting to do expense management or document management. Tomorrow, we're going to get into Salesforce integration and building Salesforce to automate that sales process, right? So, and as we start this journey, we know what the end state will be so that we can provide them that guidance.
So working with a company that's working with entrepreneurial operating system, with EOS,
yes,
that owner who you were talking about sitting in the middle, that owner would be sitting in the team, right?
Correct.
The team meeting, and in that leadership team, they would be the ones who would be as hungry as the owner for all of this data so they can make good decisions.
Well, and that's the interesting thing that we found, and it's great that you brought up EOS, is what we found after we've done this, right? And we've done this process for well over 100 different companies and many different verticals, is we understood that once we started producing this output of information, businesses didn't know what to do with it. They craved it. They wanted it, but they didn't know how to read it. And so this is where we changed as we've gone through it and says, hey, you need to have someone from your organization that's going to help transform you. Or you need to bring in a partner that specializes in EOS or different processes that help you start understanding how to take advantage of this information and transform your business to be looking at this information to guide your business, as opposed to just looking at it as I have to produce an income statement for my bank or I have to do an income statement for the tax return. And so that is exactly the process that now an owner can come in with a partner from a operational transformation and a technology partner that brings both the financial, the informational flow, and the technology skill set to match where that EOS and that business owner want to guide their business. And so that's where we become that true partner, and then they can hand it off and go focus on their day job,
right?
And so that's exactly what we're talking about. So an example of that is a large solar construction company. When we found them, they were only $50 million in assets. And they were only doing the development work and outsourcing a lot of their other components. And so over the last 2.5 years, they're now well over $3 billion and continue to raise money and now are the second largest solar utility company in the nation that has both development, construction, asset management, as well as operations. And we designed the entire system with them as they went. But the CFO, the controllers, none of them had to focus on the system. They had to focus on that growth and going from, let's call it 50 people to well over 500 individuals in the last 2.5-3 years, that this has freed them because they didn't have to go and say, how are we going to get this output of this information? How are we going to get this report? Is they had a partner in the room that could get that. Right? We knew how to do it from an accounting perspective. We knew how to do it from a system perspective, and they can go and focus. And then as they were ready to consume that information, they can consume it. And so over that period of time, they were able to grow their business as we continue to see. And now they're in the process that, as I call it, you'll often hear me use the term brain, because I design these accounting systems where the accounting system is the brain and all these different subsystems, whether it be expense management, CRM, document management, they're all feeding the brain information, and that brain is outputting that information. So as they grew, they were able to replace those components while still maintaining the brain and that informational flow so that they didn't lose that valuable information that they had.
And in EOS, one of the six key components that we talk about is data. And so getting, it sounds to me like having a robust data gathering, data analyzing, and then data production system is going to be very, very helpful to help a company move into growth, into that growth mode much, much more quickly.
Absolutely. And the key around all this is where that data is stored and how that data is stored. Once you've figured out how to store that data for that output, you can always enhance the user's experience. Whether if I'm doing purchasing, I can enhance how that purchase and how that information goes to how that gets created. But I don't need to change, once I figured out the right way to store it, how to store that information for that output. And the key around it is how that information is stored. And that's why I talk about the fact that this operational accounting element has really taken accounting to a whole nother generation, is the fact that if I'm taking a sales order and I post that into this operational account, I've got the same information that I would normally have in an income statement and a balance sheet. I've now got it that's tracking my operational information. And so that output becomes so much more powerful.
And we're not talking about accounting anymore.
No. Accounting, I believe, this is the next evolution of accounting. We're talking about taking operational transactions, turning it into financial information, and exporting it back out, presenting it back out as operational data, right? At the end of the day, that's what drives a business. An income statement and a balance sheet check us at a single point in time.
Right. That's way too slow.
And so if you look at what are the keys in a balance sheet, I want to understand what is my trend on AR and my trend on AP and trend on debt and my trend on deferred revenue. And I want to see all those together so I can see where those lines cross. Because if I see AR go up, but I see my cash dip down, I know I've got a problem. If I see AR go up, I see cash go up, and I see deferred revenue go up, then I may have a delivery problem. And I know I can go and address it. And then I can go look at other key metrics that are helping me drive it. So there are elements of a balance sheet that help me, but the fact that I understood on 12/31 that my AR balance was $12,000 or $5 million, that has no value to me. What is that compared to last month? What is that compared to a year ago? And how does that compare to the other elements that are within my operational data storage? And that is, once again, the power.
Well, and also, once you have access to that kind of data, then that opens up the whole notion of what we call the weekly L10 meeting for the leadership, because now they have data that comes in, is available, certainly available daily, but they're looking at it once a week to see how that, and these are more than KPIs. These are the guts of the institution, of the organization, how it's working and how it's producing. And so looking at that once a week and scoring that on the scorecard up against what we expected, what we wanted to have, and we can see that in that 13-week trend over the last quarter.
Absolutely.
And that gives us the insight to be able to make decisions much more quickly than quarterly or even monthly data sheets.
Absolutely. And that's the key, is that we've designed systems and built these systems that the information is there. So as your EOS and you go through your quarterly business review or whatever the terminology that you use on a quarter that says this is what we're going to focus on, it's very easy if you come to us as part of this service and you say, this is our focus. What do we need from a dashboard perspective? We can produce that dashboard that then will track as you for your weekly meetings to hold you accountable. And then the next quarter happens and you say, this is where my focus is this quarter. And we go ahead and we adjust that. And not only can you do that for what an executive would see, but you can do it all the way down the chain.
Yes.
Right? And this is the evolution that we need to see businesses transform to, that they have never been able to do it because of the fact that they're limited on that data output. Is now that they've got the data, now we've got to go through an education process to teach them how to use that data through the entire organization. And this is where I start seeing the real power of an EOS come into play, because in the past, EOS could only do with what they got. And if you're sitting on QuickBooks or you're sitting on a Dynamics or you're sitting on these old legacy systems that are not storing the data properly for you, then you're waiting around for somebody to finish a spreadsheet. And by the time you get the spreadsheet, you're already 2 months down the road.
Well, no, this is much more like the news crawl at the bottom of the television.
Absolutely.
Right? So that as we roll out EOS to the entire organization, we're giving access to the data to everyone in the organization as they need it.
Absolutely.
And then we're also, in the same way that we're teaching them that, number one, they can achieve rocks, they can make things happen at whatever level they are in the organization. They have the ability to do that. Number two, they can make decisions about how to improve what's going on in the organization at their level, and then giving them access to the information, the data that supports that and tracks that, that transforms the entire organization from one that's dependent upon a vision that nobody really knows about, a system that people tell them they have to do, which means they probably won't, or they'll have great resistance to it. It transforms that to something that we all share in ownership, know where we're going, how we're going to get there, and we regularly celebrate our progress toward that.
Absolutely. And the key here is you can now use a system to align that. So at the moment in time that the vision is created and the executive team says, this is our focus this quarter, that hierarchy goes all the way down. And now you can empower the people. The reason you couldn't empower the people in the past is they didn't have enough information to make a decision like you would make a decision. But if you give them access to that information to make the decision, they're likely going to make the same decision that you would have made if you're sitting in there. And now you can trust it. But if they make a wrong decision, you've also got the dashboards and what I often call guardrails. And I attribute this to Disneyland when you're driving on Autopia, that you can't take that car off the track.
Well, that's what happens in the weekly scorecard.
Absolutely.
You're noticing it where we're off track here. How do we... Is this an anomaly or is this a trend?
And then we
can address it.
And then you also can drill down into it, right?
Yes.
So the key is that we can provide various layers that each type of user or consumer can store, right? Whether it be a performance card that's driving my backlog, whether it be a bookings number that I'm comparing against the budget. But if you then say that number's off, that detail is in a dashboard right below that you then can go and consume it. So the way that we've also designed our dashboards is in a way that gives you quick informational output, but that detail that backs that up is right there available to you as well. And then we just attune that to each level in that hierarchy to get there.
All right. Very exciting, Jim. This is a very exciting breakthrough in the way that we look at data and how we use that throughout the organization. So I want to take a break here and listen to one of our sponsors, and then we come back and talk about how businesses can use this to transform how they are interacting with their marketplace.
Perfect.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions, and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
Well, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405, where we're talking about how access to data in manageable bites and ways that companies throughout the whole organization, that the employees of companies throughout the whole organization can see the data, can interact with it, and can use that to make decisions as we roll out something like EOS, which is an operating system to help the entire company become focused on where the company's going and how it's going to get there. So we're going to continue our conversation with Jim French, the founder of Incubator Finance. So, Jim, give us some examples of companies. We were talking about what size companies do you usually start with?
Yeah, so typically it depends on each industry will be a little bit different. But what we find is once they start getting to around $5 million, that's when we start seeing the owner is losing that visibility, and that's the point in time that they want to regain it. Granted, by industry, it may be a little bit different, but on average, about $5 to $10 million is our baseline, and then we'll guide them up to $100 million. Once they get to $100 million, they now look to start potentially bringing some of those elements in-house, gaining some control, and so our roles adjust. But the nice thing is that our model is designed in a way that it's like an accordion. You can have us come in at any level that you need us to do, ranging from system architect to informational flow, to reports and dashboards and system management, to outsourced accounting. And so all of those different elements can be provided as one complete solution or can be minimized as a company grows and wants to start taking ownership of that.
All right, so give me an example of a company, $5 to $10 million, that it wants to grow. How do you start? What happens?
Yeah, so typically we have a discussion around the drivers of their business, right? And then we go through, there's really three main phases that we look at, which is the order to cash, which is sales orders coming in, converting themselves to invoices, and going to creating cash and revenue recognition. So we look at that cycle and we understand what's going on there and what are the key steps that are going into that process and what are the data elements that we're going to want to track and gain visibility into. So if we're a software company, we care about what's the MRR, right? What's our CAC, right? What's our turnover cost or our churn? Those are the focuses that we have there. And so we get a focus on that order to cash cycle. Then we go and we focus on the procure to pay cycle, right? How are we buying stuff? How are we spending it? What do we need to track around that spend process? And then we look at the delivery process and says, what's going on delivery? Obviously in inventory, you've got inventory management and professional services. You're delivering a service, so you've got to track and manage and keep it accountable. If you're project-based, you want to understand what's the project profitability, right? And so all of those are the three main areas that we're going to go and drill into to get a good understanding. Then there's just the typical admin stuff of how do you handle expenses? How do you do your payroll? And those pieces that we roll into it. But at the end of the day, we have to understand what is the drivers of this particular business. And what you'll find is very, you may think software companies and housing rental companies are different. Or professional services companies that have gone to this flat fee model are different. But at the end of the day, they're very similar in what they're capturing because they care about the retention of the customer, the churn of the customer. What's my acquisition cost of that customer? How much has my reoccurring revenue increased? What is my reoccurring revenue against my reoccurring costs, right? So those are the drivers on it. If you move to a construction company, it's very different. If I'm a construction company, I want to understand what is my cash position on this particular project? How much have I committed to spend? I may not have got the bill, but I've committed to spend that against what my budget is. So by vertical, we go and we understand those different elements. And because we've done so many different verticals, whether it be construction, whether it be professional services, whether it be insulation, whether it be restaurants, whether it be engineering firms, and the list goes on. We've done, because we've worked across the country and we've partnered with CPA firms across the country to assist their companies, we've got pulled into verticals that we didn't even really want to get into, but we wanted to solve the problem.
Well, do you have an example of a manufacturing company?
So manufacturing today is more difficult. So we don't focus on that because today, as we talked about, the cloud-based software is continuing to evolve. And the most complicated evolution is manufacturing / distribution. So in my early days, I built software for bakeries, right? And I call it the most compressed distribution manufacturing environment you had because you had to bake bread that had a 3-day shelf life and you had to deliver it on a truck. So you needed to know what my order was to drive my manufacturing tonight for my delivery tomorrow. So today the technology hasn't gotten there yet because of its complexity. So we focus more on professional services. So let's take a professional services firm that's in that $5 million. And this will also fit into some of construction and other people that follow this project-based world, which we've taken this from people that are shipping containers to people doing professional services, to people doing housing construction or flipping. But at the end of the day, it's this project-based concept that says, okay, I have an order for a project. I have costs for that project. So one of the things in a professional services is they want to understand how much labor hours are going to it, whether I'm paying, that customer's paying me a fixed fee or whether that customer's paying me a time and material basis. I need to understand what my costs are against that particular project. And so we'll go and we'll set up this project element. We'll go ahead and track that order and handle the revenue recognition on it because not only I may be able to invoice it today, but I may not be able to recognize that revenue today because I haven't fulfilled my obligation. And so we'll handle that workflow around that. We link that back to the project. And then we go ahead and we track the people's time. And when their time goes in, we track their costs, we track their hours. We also can allocate corporate costs down to that project. So in that way, we can then take their entire business and turn it into an entire project-based business that we know what the profitability is every single project and sub-project associated with that business is. And so that allows them to track in real time when a project's going off the rails. So if I happen to be on a project that is based off of the revenue is being recognized, we're invoicing, but I'm seeing that my observable percentage completion is 30%, but my costs are at 70%. Now I can go jump on it and find out what went off track and how do I get it on track, or else I'm going to lose, especially in a flat fee or fixed fee based company. And so those are the types of things that we help them obtain, is understanding in a project-based business how to do that. And then we drive the efficiency around that process for capturing that order. So we'll go and we'll integrate Salesforce into Intacct or a CRM into the accounting software to bring that informational flow in so that you get one single point of entry. So a sales order gets put in. We capture the data elements we want. We map them to where they need to go from an architecture standpoint. And then that project gets released out to the professional services tool, whether that be a project management tool. We'll send that project down. We'll send them down the budgets. Now the project managers can go and allocate their resources and set up their project plan. Their employees will go ahead and start tracking their time against the project, against certain tasks. And that information will flow back up into the accounting system, tracking the cost against that project. And then that cost will also drive the revenue recognition in the billings, and you'll gain that visibility all in one single dashboard. Make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And what I'm understanding is that professional services can be construction. I mean, there's a link between. I'm thinking of clients that I have, which are both professional services and construction.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking of another company that is doing major projects as a professional service. They don't manufacture anything.
Right.
Yeah. And so, in all of these cases, those issues continually, that the issues about how are we making a profit here?
Right.
What's going on? What's it costing us on the various projects? So when I think about those companies that are between $5 and $15 million, talk to me about how, you know, what kind of cost is associated with it. It sounds very complicated.
Yeah, I mean, and the key is that because of the fact that we've, in essence, on my side, have built this into a manufacturing or what I call a software company on top of software companies, is we've turned this into a solution set. So when we walk in the door and you say, I'm a construction company, we already know what the design has already been. We've already mapped out exactly where the information should go, what the transaction processes that are needed for a construction company are. How are we going to store the information so we can track your commitments versus your spend versus your WIP release and all the different pieces that you need to have inside of a construction company? We walk in the door and we already know that cold. Right? Not from a software delivery perspective, because software people, what you'll often find is they don't actually know how users use their system. And from our perspective, we're users of the system that know how to make software do things that the software people didn't actually plan it to do without customizing. And that's the key. And so when you take the fact that cloud-based software is now an operational cost, it doesn't require an upfront commitment. And because of the fact that we look at this as a long-term relationship with our clients, that we've turned this from a front-end, what you would have typically got if you wanted to deploy this, you would have paid an implementation cost. Today, you pay one monthly fee. There's no difference in the fee that covers that. And based on what you have us do, determines that. We'll roll the software in there because we're going to go and acquire it for you. We roll the professional service in that, and we allocate that over the life of the project so you don't have to get hit with that upfront implementation cost. The bookkeeping, if you want us, or the outsourced accounting, if you want us to do that, then that can get rolled into that. So you're looking at, by doing all of that, we can actually do all of this for less than the cost of one individual. So if you happen to have someone in a... And we're not talking about an owner individual. We're talking about an accounting clerk or a AP bookkeeper, that we can drive the automation. And without having to make that investment and get your return over 12 months, you're going to get your return on month one, right? And month two and month three, because of the fact that you've got the lower cost of the cloud-based software than you typically had in the past. You no longer have to manage that. So any IT resources that gone around it, the efficiencies that we gain in the workflow process reduce the amount of work that's needed to do it. And if you're using us as your outsourced accounting part of your business, then our people are experts, right? We don't have to train them. We don't have to deal with the fact that, hey, I'm not ready to learn, right? I call this the who moved my cheese concept, is oftentimes that you'll go ahead and deploy a system. You've got people in the organization that don't want to change, right? And this great book of Who Moved My Cheese is a big driver of that, because they move the cheese and the person stop looking for it. And so all the people that we've brought onto our business are people that are adapted to change. They're people that are experts at what they do, whether it be processing AP bills or putting in sales order, and they understand the informational flow that's already in the system. So when you put all of those pieces together, we're going to be faster, quicker, and cheaper than if you try to do it yourself, especially at that $5 to $10 million phase, and even up to $30 million, because the owner is not focused on managing their controller or managing their bookkeeper or making sure the invoices go out. They're going after and focusing on, how do I grow my business? Where should I be marketing? Who should I be talking to? Who are my sales channels? And by allowing someone that is an expert on it and not focused on the short term, how much utilization I get, and more focused on delivery of the output of information, they got a partner that they can trust.
So I'm assuming this is going to cost them somewhere between $3,000 and $10,000 a month.
Depending on their size, absolutely. Right. So, and if we're looking at $5 million company, you're probably talking about $3,000 to $5,000 a month. Mm-hmm. As you go up to 20 to 30, you're stretching yourselves up to 10, right? But it's the key here is that based on the complexity, obviously the more complex, the price goes up a little bit. But because we've used automation, construction, let's take construction, it's extremely complicated. And you can't do it in QuickBooks, though many people have tried. So they're going to go and they're going to say, okay, I've taken a sales order, but I also have all these commitments I'm making. I've gone and I've subbed this out to that guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. But I don't know at the end of the day at how much I've paid him. So I don't know how much I've got left to pay versus how much I've paid or what my total spend is and how much money I've received in. So using our unique design, we'll provide that complete visibility to you just by automating where that data is stored.
All right, I have four clients that I want to introduce you to.
Okay.
So how would I go about doing that?
Typically, we start out with just a discovery call. It takes 30 minutes to an hour for us to talk to you. We don't charge for that. We do it as part of our discussion. And in this point, we're gonna show you that we not only understand your business, but we know the outputs of your business that you're gonna be driven by, right? And you don't need to go and tell us, I need this software, I need that software. Just like you don't go to your tax accountant and say, you should be using this tax software. You say, I wanna pay as little as I can to get my taxes done. And we're not asking you to come and pay as little as you can. But because of the efficiencies that we gained, we're going to have this discussion and we're going to come back with a design. After 1 hour discussion, we're going to tell you exactly how that information is going to flow. And at the end of the day, what the output is that you're going to see. We're not going to tell you how we're going to get there. And then we're going to move down the path. And then you're going to say, I want that output. Right. And then we're going to go and tell you how we're going to get there. And we're going to figure out what your roadmap looks like based off of the end state that you want to have.
This is your buffet model.
This is our buffet model. Right. And it's also there's also a staircase that people go through on this. We know I made the mistake as one of my early systems. I went and found so much data. I said, this is awesome. Right. Let me just give it to the owner. And I literally put it on a dashboard. It had probably 20 performance cards, which are little snippets of information that's telling them, and a bunch of reports and dashboards. And when I presented it, I heard a thump on the other end, right? Because I mentioned we don't travel. So I heard a thump on the other side because he fell off the chair. And it was too much information for him to absorb at one point in time. And that's when I realized that there's an education process that has to go up, that businesses, while we have all of that data, cannot absorb it out of the gate. And this is where the EOS comes into play, that helps guide them through it, because this is someone that you need a coach going through that, not only for the owner, but for the rest of the business. So if you were to introduce us, that's the discussion we're going to go through, is what's the driver of your business? Where are you going? What's the output you want to come back? And we'll come back and tell you, this is what we see as your journey along this path. And this is what it's going to cost you to get there. Whether you have us do this today or whether you have us do it in a year, the price isn't going to change. And so you can go and say, let's make the investment here. And then as you grow and evolve your business, we're going to make the tweaks and the changes and the adjustments just naturally for you without you having to go and say, I need more, because we're on this journey for you, and that's the buffet.
Well, what I find interesting about this is also that what you are saying is that if a company has a $50 million or $100 million or, in your case, $3 billion 10-year target or 50-year target, whatever it is, if that's where they're going, you're going to be there with them all along the way and evolving to supply
Absolutely.
The data that they need for that particular quarter, for that particular year. And all along the way, It's not like they've got to reinvent every 6 months.
And that's the whole key, right? As I call it, painting yourself into the corner or walking yourself and looking up and seeing a giant wall that you've got to climb and replace. Is because we've designed the system and we've designed it for growth, and we know what you're going to look for, that we've had customers that when you're at $5 million, you don't care about departments, right? You don't care about department budgets. You care about a company budget, but not a department budget. When you get to 20 and 30 and you've got 30 and 50 and 100 employees, now you're going to start caring about my departments and my budget versus actual. And so we just roll that in once you get to that stage. And that's what the key is that the system's evolving with you, and we've built a brain that you don't have to replace. You may replace the hands, the arms, the legs, right? Whether that be a document management system, an expense management, a CRM, right? You may replace those front-end engines, but the brain and the functionality and the way that the information is flowing into it will not change. And so that's why it's a key is this $50 million to $3 billion, they brought on construction. They started billing themselves. They brought on operations, and they started billing themselves. They brought on the O&M. And as we did that, we didn't outgrow the system. We outgrew the subsystems, and we're in the process of replacing some of those, but we didn't outgrow the informational output. And the key is that the subsystems had to continue to provide that informational output.
Well, and some of my clients are in the process of allowing the founder, the owner, to retire.
Yep.
And turn it over to an heir, or in some cases, a board.
Yep.
And it's interesting because some of these folks never really bought into the kind of information flow that they can have by using the kind of a data system.
Absolutely.
And so while they were while they did use some new technology, it was reluctant. So they could never really embrace it. And so what I'm hearing is that this is a huge jump ahead, and it's not simply incrementally adding systems. This is changing the way we go about it.
Yeah, it's changing how the systems get put into place, and it's changing how you get there. Is I may not be a technologist, but I have a great growing business. And I can't go hire a technologist because I can't afford the $200,000 that it's going to come along with that budget. But I can go hire a technologist and an accountant and a CPA, and they can go do it for me at a fraction of the cost because I can share them. I grant it. They're not going to be on site looking at me, but I don't really want them to because I don't know how to get me there anyways, and neither do any of my people. And so I can take a big leap forward without the cost of doing so. And I look at this, if you go into the Himalayas, so I went with Paul, my partner, we went to the Himalayas. And one of the things that we saw is they had cell phones. They're still hitting rocks on the side, but they had cell phones. They completely bypassed the hardwired lines that we had in America, and now they're caught up with us because technology allowed them to make that jump. Right. And by having this, the cloud-based world has really changed our ability to transform and make software work for people, where the old model was software made money for software. And software was to the benefit of the software companies because people didn't have enough knowledge to execute against it. And now the cloud-based software has enabled software to truly work for people as long as the people that are putting it in place have the knowledge and insight that comes with accounting, operations, and finance to assemble it for you. And they can do it on a fractional. So you're getting people that are stronger than the people that you have to figure that out, because how many systems have they deployed in their career, right? Versus how many systems have we deployed, not as software deployment people or as resellers of software, but as true users and consumers of information.
Well, partners.
Absolutely.
Partners. That's what I find valuable here. Now, so we got a 30-minute discovery call. You do some analysis about it. You bring your mental templates
yes.
forward. Then what happens?
Then we start on the project. And if there's no integrations, we're done, and we've got that baseline system operating in 45 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Integrations, depending on their complexity, may push it out to 90 to 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
But we can start that transformation process and that baseline and get ready so that now you can absorb your system in that 60 days. And after you go live after that 60 days, it's going to take you a month or two for people's process to change and to adapt and for us to educate them. And the power is you don't have to have us come out for more training. We've designed this model in a cloud-based world, and we also designed it into what we call just-in-time training. Is we don't sit in a class on a Friday, teach you, and by Monday everybody's forgot it, and a month later nobody has any recollection. Is we go in and we'll train you on the cloud, we'll record it. We'll store it up in your project management. If someone needs to see it, they can pull it down, or we can jump on and look over their shoulder. So the moment they need us, we say, yep, here we are. We stand up, we're looking over their shoulder and say, okay, click that button, okay, perfect, you got it? Kind of. Okay, let's do another one. Okay? And they may forget because they only do it once a month. Or right. And so we'll go and we'll educate them again.
Well, that's how I learned software when I jumped in to do user's guides for Toshiba. I had a great mentor behind me. There were 12 of us writing. I was new to the process. And I had the bravado to say, yes, I know this software, when I didn't.
Right.
But she was there to help me through it. And within 60 days, I was up and running.
And we find that's a better way of learning.
Yes,
right? You're going to learn when you do. You're not going to learn when you're trained. And so we've changed that process of how you go through that. And so during that first quarter, we know that's going through that evolution. And now you're at the second quarter, the information's there. And so this is where we go ahead and we transition the implementation team, right? Which is their entire focus is, let's get it in, let's get it working, let's get it flowing. And then we move it over to what we call a customer success, which once again is another accountant that we've trained this process to, mm-hmm. who's guiding you on your ongoing journey. They're your coach. So I call it, when you go down to Africa, you don't go up and just go try to look at the lions and the tigers and the elephants and all that type of stuff. You have a tour guide. And so this is our tour guide that guides you through it and says, okay, what are we focused on this quarter? Okay, this is what we see people in your industry looking at. Are we ready to absorb it? So we assess where you are in your financial maturity. And once again, this is that staircase process through your evolution of understanding your information of your business. And we say, where are you on that? And if you have an EOS, they're doing that process with you and determining where you're at. And then we align your information for you along that. And then we, as that evolves, we follow you through that. And every quarter we do it again. But then what we find is entrepreneurial-based owners, as they grow, they're ready to do something new.
Yes.
So they pop up and they say, okay, let's go, and we're going after
this.
We
call those visionaries.
Yes. And I tend to fit into that bucket. So we built a model that meets those needs. And so by having us as a service, we're not going to come back to you and say, unless all of a sudden you're software and you want to go to construction, right? Those are very different system designs, mm-hmm. yet they work together. Is we're going to go and says, okay, this is where we need to tweak the informational flow to get the output that you're going to need, because this is what this industry cares about. And so we're going to evolve that system for you. You're not going to have contracts. You're not going to have a new deal. You're not going to have to go back to the well and get right. some approval.
Right.
We just do it as part of this partnership that's built on a long term.
This sounds very exciting, and I'm looking forward to introducing you to four of my clients. How would somebody get in touch with you if they wanted to?
So you can go to our website, which is incubatorfinance.com. We work with lots of CPA firms. So you can find us that way. But the fastest way to get to us is go to incubatorfinance.com and click on the link that says, tell me more. And we'll set up a free 30 minutes to 1 hour discussion with you to understand your business and where you're going. And then we're going to provide you at a no obligation what the cost is to get there.
All right. Well, there we go. It sounds like a lot of excitement and enthusiasm for companies that are ready to move, maybe reluctant because of technology and all the pieces that have to work together. But you're providing the opportunity for them to talk to somebody who has done this over 100 times successfully.
Absolutely.
And is willing to talk and spend 30 minutes to help understand how they could move forward more quickly.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for being with us, Jim. I look forward to many more conversations.
Thank you for the time.
So here we are with the Pilgrim on the 405, talking to you about how technology is not just a series of incremental changes, and it's not, it shouldn't be seen just as a set of software programs, but should be seen as a whole integrated approach to how to run your business. And when you use EOS, you have an operating system that works with the business and can use this data to roll it out to the entire company. So this is the Pilgrim on the 405, wishing you a great week and looking for ways to make businesses thrive in California.
You've been listening to the Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.